Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Back again for another edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, not the full team this week, just a couple, but it might mean for a quicker podcast. Peter Moody, of course, always here. Well, not always. He's missed a couple of episodes. And Anthony Mithen, we are one man down. We don't have the resident Rayman. Just little family issues kept him away, probably for the whole episode. But Moods, that should mean a bit shorter, sharper podcast, although, you know, Mytho's still here. So, you know, maybe not.
Well, we won't have the Rain Man with us to go through the entire field and even give the clerk of the course horses a chance this evening, but we're thinking of him. But listen, what a wonderful weekend of racing just gone, and showcased Sandown, Australia's greatest racetrack. Three Group 1 races, and what racing it was at Sandown. And God, it had an unbelievable feel out there last Saturday, and I think most people would love to see a bit more of those sort of days at Sandown. It was a tremendous day's racing. Good. Great to see the Hayes dynasty continue on. Ben and JD doing the family proud in winning, I think, the 10th Blue Diamond under the Hayes name. That's a phenomenal effort. The great Alligator Blood returning in good order. What a great horse he's been. And Uncommon James for the Queenslanders. And Benny Thompson, I think his first Group 1 win in the Oakley Plate. And what a race it was also. Terrific racing. Showcasing Australia's best racetrack.
I was just going to chime in just in case people thought I was missing as well. But after that total diatribe running through every race around Australia last weekend, and I'm looking forward. And I know Rayman's not here, but in the spirit of Rayman, I could not be more excited about two Guineas races being run the same weekend in two different states. I could not be more excited, Rog.
Well, we'll get to that, obviously, when we preview the races and as to whether they perhaps detract from each other. Moods, I've got to ask you, with Anima, of course, winning again, went round short odds, it did what we all expected him to do. I know we've debated a little bit on this podcast previously as to sort of, is he an out-and-out champion? Where do you think now, with the dominance that he seems to have and that he has won at 2, 3, 4, where does he rank in Australian racing? Or is he just a... is he just really profiting from maybe the lack of talent around him? Or do you think there is enough talent? He's just too good.
Oh, listen, he's the best going around at the moment. I think time will tell where he sits in the overall scheme of things, but I'm not one to go judging horses from different eras and different times. He's a bloody great horse. He's the champion of his time. Where he sits in the overall scheme of things, I'm not sure. If he travels overseas and gets the job done there, obviously that'll add to his resume and to his record. But, God, he's just a bloody good horse. He's been well handled, and he looks to be getting bigger and stronger and more furnished. And he seems to have grown up mentally too. At the start of his last couple of preps, we've seen him get a bit hot and stirry and taking a run or two to probably really hit his rhythm. This time round, he's just been really on his A game from day dot.
I've asked you this question before, Mytho, and I'll go again because I know the answer would have changed. If he was a stallion to hit the open market, given what he's done and what his resume is now, I mean, is it write your own ticket kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got him absolutely. Has to be down as a superstar of racing. I mean, he's won 8 Group 1 races, octagonal 110. He's too often his career's not over. I mean, he's a you line him up and line his record up, and to be doing it 2, 3, now 4, autumn, spring, he is a star. As to his value, I was having that conversation earlier today. We're at Melbourne Premier. Pete was out there looking at yearlings. I was out there plying my trade, trying to hook in a few buyers for a lovely draft of yearlings, I might say, for Rosemont Stud out there at Oaklands Junction this week.
Geez, Moods is trying to flog off shares to I Wish I Wins half brother last week, and you're just trying to bang out the latest crop from Rosemont. We're not an advertorial podcast.
Some tremendous yearlings by Star Spangled Banner. Anyway, I digress. What he's worth is probably a multiplication of what he can stand for. And I was talking to a few of the breeders today, saying, "Well, what does he go and stand for? What's his service fee per mare when he goes to stud later this year?" And I said 80 grand, and Mick Malone from Kitchwan Hills Farm said, "At 80 grand, he's too cheap." I said, "Oh, it's a big sting." He said, 80 grand's a drop in the ocean for that horse with his record. He probably stands at 120, which values him at 150 mares. So that's 18 million in earnings for year one. Times that by three, yeah, you're looking at in excess of $50 million for a horse like him right now. So he's a freak, and he will. I don't reckon he'll lose another race before he goes to stud now.
Uncommon James isn't at that value, but he is now a Group 1 winner. And as you mentioned, Moods, great to see, you know, first Group 1 win for that combination. The Queensland has come down here, and, you know, so often Queensland racing is obviously marked below Melbourne, Sydney, you know, as to where it sits in the pecking order. But for a Queensland horse to come down and do what he did on the weekend was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, at the expense of Chain of Lightning.
Yeah, no, well, Chain of Lightning didn't get into the hunt. It was, we saw Zoo Style, the other Queenslander, went at a million mile an hour and took a lot of horses out of their comfort zone, Chain of Lightning included. But credit to Uncommon James. And one thing you do find when it comes to the sprinting ranks, it doesn't matter where you come from. You can come from the Northern Territory, Western Australia, South Australia, wherever. The sprinting ranks, you know, there's not that much of a gap. It's once you get probably at a mile, to a mile, and then certainly beyond, where the gap starts to widen with the quality of horse to the two major states in New South Wales and Victoria. And sprinters sort of hold their own anywhere. And, you know, we've seen over the years great sprinters come from all corners of Australia. And but these boys have done a tremendous job with Uncommon James. He's a hell of a horse. He's a great short course horse. And, you know, he really took to that Sandown track a treat. He was super first up, probably went into it a little bit underdone, I think that they suggested, and then he improved rapidly off it and was just too good for them, plain and simple. And nothing like a big handicap, is there? Like we said, I think Chain of Lightning, where'd she run? 8th and 9th and got beat two lengths or something, and I think, you know, 13th or 14th, 2.5 lengths. Big handicaps spread across the track. Looked like there was 10 hopes at the 300, but Uncommon James was too good on the day.
So based on your theory, Pete, there, that the sprinters, is not really much between them, and they do come from everywhere. And you can see why, you know, the Australian racing vernacular has Winx as a much better horse than Black Caviar. You'd subscribe to that now. Talk yourself into that one.
Why is that?
Well, you just said it. The sprinting ranks are all pretty even, and they can come from all different states and jurisdictions. And but, you know, once you get to a mile and further, you know, it becomes a bit more prestigious if you're sort of top of the pile in that.
Well, no one adds prestige. It probably shows you the fact that the sprinting ranks are more competitive, if anything, Anthony. But I'm not going to go into that argument.
The Northern Territory sprinters and the Queensland sprinters are sort of, there is good, or is it just more even and therefore more winnable?
Well, I would think for your smart ass comment, you want to probably go back a decade or so. And I believe we saw a horse come from Fanny Bay in the Northern Territory and win an Oakley Plate, dickhead.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
If your history books on, so
I'm with you on that. That's what I'm saying. It's more prestigious and it's tougher to stay at the top of the game and be winning those, you know, mile plus races.
Listen, I'm not going to take away from Wink. She was probably as good as we've ever seen. Is she the best? I don't know. But I would suggest that the sprinting ranks are probably more competitive and probably harder. And for a horse to win 25 straight, dickhead, probably holds more prestige. But that's not going to suggest that one is better than the other. So no use trying to wind me up. You're just shitting in your own nest.
I love a good midweek fishing trip. But unfortunately, he didn't entirely take the bait. We might take a break.
All right, he didn't take the hook. He didn't take the hook. He took the bait. He nibbled on the bait. Yeah. Which is what I was at. I'm happy with that. I've got to rebait the hook. We'll do that for next week. There'll be another topic next week, I'm sure.
You nearly reeled in the marlin. Let's take a break on Moody on the mic because we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Group 1 in Melbourne, two Group 1s in Sydney, another big race in Melbourne, and we've got prizes to give away.
Ladbroken, and multiply the excitement with Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race. Find the Same Race Multi tab and pick two to four runners to finish anywhere inside the top four. Add up to four runners to watch your potential payout increase. Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. Available on Thoroughbred, Greyhound, Harness and International Races. Ladbroken. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Alrighty, big Group 1 on the program on Saturday at Flemington is the Australian Guineas. We spoke about Alligator Blood winning again at Group 1 level last week, and he, of course, won this race back in 2020. The market has Jack and I was the top pick, $2.25, open $2.60, and was crunched straight away. Elliptical, $6.50 last start winner. Attrition got in the field for Mitchell Friedman. Jamie Carr takes the ride there, $8.50, $9.50 Legato, Amenable $12, and then it's $20 or more for the rest of them. In lieu of the Rain Man, I guess that means that I've got to pick up the slack and go first. And when I look at this race, I mean, you just got to, with one exception, I just don't see how the other three-year-olds can beat Jack and I at level weights, and the exception being Elliptical. Only other run at 1600 was in the Caulfield Guineas, beating a nose. Maybe wasn't the strongest Caulfield Guineas, but hey, look, a great first up win in the Hay Stakes for Elliptical. Looks to have come back really well. I think he can test Jack and O, but I'm going to go with the proven performer at the top class, given he's taking on his own age group, Jack and O for mine. I'm not surprised to see that early price of 260 absolutely snapped up, and in about the first half hour it was put up by the Ladbrokes traders.
Yeah, it's a hard argument to find that he won't win. Probably the only query will be his pedigree and whether or not a Rubik is going to run out a strong, high-pressure 1,600-metre race at Flemington. That's the query about Jack and O. You know the Elliptical will run the trip and will probably get stronger the further the race goes. So that's what you're betting on here, I reckon. Whether or not Jack and O is going to be a true miler, I heard both Mick Kent and Mick Price on the radio this week suggesting they had no worries with it, and they would know. They see the horse, and I'm sure Pete can speak to that better than I can about trying to pick what the horse's best distance is when you're actually seeing them in front of your work. And there would be a certain art to that, but I reckon Mick Kent and Mick Price would have a good eye for that. So if they're saying yes, you'd be probably pretty happy with the 225. But for the each way value, I'm going for Elliptical because that question mark doesn't hang. So Elliptical for me, each way at the 650. I like the odds about, you know, you're betting 225 about Elliptical to place, 225 Jack and O to win. I like the odds about Elliptical to run top three.
Listen, he's looked outstanding, Jack and O, hasn't he? Super taking on the older horses at weight for age, back against his own age at set weights, and he's certainly a deserved favourite. I suppose the curveball and interesting one here is Legato, the New Zealand filly. She's been very dominant over there and extremely unlucky at a last run, so it'll be really interesting to see how she measures up and has looked strong through the line at the end of her mile races. And like Anthony touched on, that is the little query with Jack and O. Is he going to be quite as brilliant at the mile? I'm going to throw a curveball in here. I thought one called Holy Mans was very, very good in the CS Hayes at Flemington the other day from the Ma Eustace stable. Mark Zara takes a ride, drawn to get a good run. It's a son of El Manzura. I reckon he'll really appreciate the step up to the mile with a little bit more experience under his belt. I think he's probably going to be 25 to 1, is he?
20 to 1.
20 to 1. So no knock on Jack and O. He goes in as the best performed horse, and that weight for age form against the older horses is far superior. But I like Holy Mans each way at the 20s. Rather than the even money, the favourite, to certainly run a place.
All right, let's move on to the Blamey Stakes, a Group 2 on the program. Now, actually, before we get to the market, Pounding is in this race, and Pounding is an $8 chance in the Blamey Stakes. If he wins this, it's a win and in for the All-Star Mile race. And he will need that because he didn't quite get into the top 10. Now, attrition could see him get into the field because there's a few horses that may not go, and he wouldn't have been far outside the top 10, although that vote is somewhat secret. But we did have a competition.
No, but we, you know, but Rod, there's some concerns about that. And Pete's putting his finger up too. I think he's got a word to say. It goes on prize money earned for the emergencies.
Which I find quite hypocritical here, and obviously not looking into the conditions of the race, but supposedly the top 10 runners are voted in by the public. And that's not the case here at all.
No.
Not the case at all. The top 10 have been listed, but if those horses don't run, and then it's at the discretion of the committee and prize money and money earned and this and that, if number one comes out, surely number 11 should go in. If number eight comes out, number 12 should go in. That gives you the top 10 that are voted in. The fact that they are, and the fact that they only listed 1 to 10, I believe, is incorrect. They should have listed probably 1 to 20, let everyone have a view and see where they finish, because that's a part of it anyhow. And then if one of those top 10 comes out, surely the next highest vote earner should get a run in the race. But no,
wasn't
that's
that
not
how
the
it's
case.
Been done in previous years? Has it been
well,
done like
I
that in previous
know.
Years? I thought it had been. I thought it was. 11 goes
well,
in,
apparently
10 comes out.
We believe that's not the case. Now, no one knows what ran 11th, 12th, 13th or 14th. We don't know if Pounding ran 11th or 21st. We don't know. But I do know that then if one of those horses comes out, and I know one of them's mine, I Wish I Win, who's all but certain not to run in that race, I would assume if he came out, number 11 got a run, but that's not the case. So it's not the top 10 aren't voted in at all. They voted in if they stay there, but if one of them comes out, it's then at the discretion of the All-Star Mile group to what they're going to put in, and as well as their 5 wildcards. So we could end up with 9 wildcards or 10 wildcards if 5 of the top 10 elect not to run.
Yeah,
I'd be fairly confident that Pounding gets a wildcard.
I realise that Pounding might have been that 11th, 12th or 13th horse with a couple coming out. But we were trying to vote him up so that he got as close as possible, knowing that there were a couple in there that that wouldn't run in the race. But I heard racing manager for Racing Victoria on the radio this morning saying that Fangirl and Cascadian would be the emergencies to come in and fill those spots because it now reverts to prize money. Well, is it a public vote for your top 10 horses into the race, or is it not? Like, it don't suddenly now there's horses getting in on prize money rather than wild, and then there's wild cards, and there's also this public vote schmozzle. It's all got a bit confusing.
Well, it's obviously not on public vote. Some of them will end up in there on public vote, and the way it probably stands, the greater majority of the field's going to be handpicked by someone.
Yeah.
It's not a voting system. Why don't they just handpick the 15 and forget rooting around and annoying everyone with the voting system as it is?
Well, and you would have been better off to take I Wish I Win out before voting closed, so that then Pounding got a step closer. He might have been 10th. And we've missed out on that. Now, up to the owners and the connections to know those terms and conditions. I'm sure that's what Racing Victoria would tell us, and maybe we're mugs for not doing that. But it gets promoted as a vote, a public vote race. You assume that those 10 spots go to the public vote, but apparently not. So
I think it's a fairly I think it's been fairly fluid over the years. They're still trying to find the right balance, and I don't think that was the case last year. I could be wrong. It's happened before. I know that the first couple of years was rubbish anyway. Like, there was just donkeys getting voted in that should never have been racing at that level. So they're obviously still trying to find the right balance. Hopefully, Pounding gets in a wild card because he's one of the best milers in the country. He did get a stack of extra votes because of what we did on Moody on the mic last week.
Yes.
Our email account was flooded. Some lovely messages too. Unfortunately, we didn't judge it on the messages. It was randomly drawn. There was a couple of one. I just want to ask a question. Andrew Martin, in his entry, Andrew, apologies, mate, you didn't win. But he did pose a question. By the way, any chance I Wish I Win may go to the George Ryder instead of or straight after the Newmarket? Moods, obviously, Andrew's looking to have a little futures play, I imagine. What's your answer to that?
Well, there is some possibility, but Newmarket is the colour. It's the same with the All-Star Mile. It's 99% he won't go there, but it is a week after the Newmarket. At this stage, it's Newmarket, and then we'll assess where his preparation is at off the back of that.
Jared Maher, actually, he said if he doesn't win the merch pack, he wants to know if he could purchase some. Gave me an idea. Maybe we could come up with Moody on the mic merchandise with a Moody racing logo, a Rosemont logo, and we just house the profits. That's maybe food for thought. Maybe food for thought. Our winners, though, of the three merchandise packs, I'll get in touch with you via email to get your details and get something sent out. How quickly that happens is up to the two boys co-hosting. Yes. Probably up to Mitho's assistant and Moods' racing manager. Cameron Evans, Emma Wade, and Darcy Heffernan are our three lucky winners who will receive some form of merch pack consisting of some Moody and Rosemont stuff. So we'll get something to you in the very near future. Congratulations to you three. Thanks to everyone who voted. We might try and do a little bit more of that in the future, but let's get to the market for the Blamey Stakes. Gentleman Roy, $2.90 favourite. Opened $3.50 this afternoon. Another one that's been crunched in early betting and with good reason, I reckon. Tuvalu, $4.20. Pounding at $8 alongside Uncle Bryn. $10 for He's a Shocker. $15 Bear Story. Smoke and Romans, Group 1 winner, of course, $18. $20 for the rest of them, or more, for the rest of them. Again, I'll kick off in lieu of Rain Man. And as much as I'd love to see Pounding win, and he's certainly in with more than a puncher's chance, his love of the mile, his love of Sandown. I reckon if we're drawing a line through the Jack No form, then Gentleman Roy has got to be the clear top pick here. He's got Group 1 form, winning form technically. I mean, he crossed the line first. And he also loves it at 1,600. That 350 that went up this afternoon, I snapped a bit of that up. I didn't realise he'd gone as short as he is now to 290. But 350 to 290 early markets, I think that plenty of punters are obviously thinking the same. Gentleman Roy chips in for Roy Boy for me, Mitho.
Yeah, well, I'm with the Pounder. Why not? He's a horse in form, and he's won his last three. He was stiff before that. He's going well. We're betting on him staying up, and I'm sure Pete can reiterate this. But it's been a very long preparation, and we know that he's been in work since about May last year. But that just shows the toughness of this horse, and Pete can talk to his attitude and whether or not he's showing any signs of wanting to turn up the toes and looking for greener pastures and a way out of Pakenham. But seems to be liking it where he is right now. So Pounding for me, particularly at the each way, $8 and $2.60 is luxury odds about a horse that's won his last three and a group winner at a mile last start.
Yeah, well, he's in very good order, Pounding. He just continues to amaze this horse in the stables, and he's dead set thrive. So no reason why he can't run well. Form lines say Gentleman Roy is the horse to beat. He's going to sit up on the speed, make his own luck, and be very hard to run down the way he toughed it out last start, losing the Group 1 weight for age race on protest, obviously. But great respect for Tuvalu up the top there too. How quickly forget, he's a very good second up, top class miler. Under the conditions of the race, I think he's quite well in with the 59 on his back, and I think he'll run a hell of a race. And bit of a watch horse there from the Clinton McDonald stable, a son of Kodiak called Bear Story, having his first start in Australia. Reports have him trialling very well down at Cranbourne in the jump outs recently, and got a pretty good record at the mile over in Ireland. Two starts for a win and a second. Last start listed winner there over 2,100 metres. So probably a watch horse there. But I think if you work around Pounding each way, as Mitho points out, and you know, coupled up with Gentleman Roy, Tuvalu, you won't be too far off the mark.
$16 for Bear Story in the Ladbrokes market. Let's head up to Sydney now to Randwick, the Canterbury Stakes, and another international who's attracting a lot of interest. The favourite here, all the way over from the land of the long white sheep. Imperatrix, $1.85, has been subject to some early support as well. Very short. Artorias, $7 alongside Caulfield Guineas winner. They're both Caulfield Guineas winners. Oh, no, Artorias is Blue Diamond. Excuse me. Golden Mile, of course, $7. $11, Electric Girl. Cascadia, $13 alongside Lombardo. And then it's big odds for the rest of them. Look, I'm no expert in Sydney racing. I think Rayman's probably the only one who really deep dives into it. But I'm going to go with Imperatriz, because if James McDonald's jumped on an informed group winning Kiwi, whose connections deem him good enough to make the trip across the Tasman to tackle the Sydney Autumn, then that's a good enough steer for me. Hasn't run at 1,300, but won multiple times at 12 and 1,400. So no issue there. I can see why it's a clear top pick, and I am with it, Imperatriz.
it's a good race. It's an even race. Depending on what that New Zealand form does, you take out the odds on favourite. There's some nice chances, and you're getting nice odds about a few of them. Can Cascadian win first up and go straight into an all-star mile, like he looks as if he's going to be gifted a spot? Maybe. At $13, you probably want a dollar each way to find out. And Golden Mile, good first up, running a solid second. Nashua Willa drawn well. It's probably going to be my bet, $50 each way, Golden Mile, rather than banking on that New Zealand form holding up here in Australia. So just James McDonald, that Kiwi blood. Kiwis, they stick together. When asked, he wouldn't have been able to say no. So for Mark Walker, is he somehow related to Mark Walker? Is there a relationship there? They're all related over there, aren't they? So I'm gonna steer clear the odds on, look on, and Golden Mile at the $7 each way with a little ticket on Cascadian to run well first up.
Yeah, well, I find myself agreeing with you here too much, Anthony. I'm with Golden Mile as well. Imperator's form impeccable. I would keep an eye on the track weather. I'm not sure of the weather conditions up there. The tracks are 4 at the moment. I think it's probably imperative that Imperatiz has a firm deck to show her best, and she's got that form. She had a couple of victories over I Wish I Win over there in New Zealand in the early days also, so we've seen his form line stand up here in Australia. She's obviously a deserved favourite, but I think at the odds I'm with Golden Mile each way as well, and let's see how this terrific New Zealand filly settles and races in Australia. She might just blow them away and be too good, particularly if the track stays a 3 or a 4. But I think the odds about Golden Mile each way are certainly more inviting.
A bit of rain around Sydney, but not too much, and it is going to be warm. So I wouldn't think we're going to be on a heavy track, but who knows with Sydney weather or weather in general. And I've just got to say, for a man who butchers the English language as much as Moods, the fact you got out imperative for Imperatrix is super impressive, Moods. Well done. Hey, man's what? I. The Ramwick Guineas, a cracking race. Aft Cabin has gone up favourite at $2.80. Ossipenko, $4.60, of course. Victorious, last start in Hobart. Ville Zoo Tiger, those three were the top three there. $6.50, Zoo Tiger, Makalake Latte, $9, $10 Attrition, $17 Communist, Lindemann at $18, $19 Williamsburg, the Derby winner Man Zeus at $27, and then, you know, big odds for the last three in the market. Look, it's a tough race. I'm a bit like the bookies. I think the winner will come from the top three in the market, but I'll stick with the most recent form line, and that is the Hobartville, and it was won by Ossipenko, as I mentioned. 1,600 metres. I think he'll continue those winning ways, the son of Piero.
Yeah, it's a good race, and I mean, it shows. We didn't really argue that point, did we? They can be split. I know, Merge, you've got the opinion. I think they run the Irish Derby the day after they run the English Derby over there in Europe, and I would have thought that Ireland to England is closer than New South Wales to Victoria. So you can do it. I like the form and the build-up of Zoo Tiger. Could be a big day. I was talking to Anthony Thompson from Widden Stud out there at Melbourne Premier today, and he's obviously bought the controlling interest of Jack and O, favourite in the Australian Guineas, and he's got a $6.50 chance in the Randwick Guineas too that he bred and stayed in for a bit. So he's certainly an advocate for two Guineas on the one day. Might win them both. So, and I'm tipping that Zoo Tiger can do it for the O'Shea camp. A couple of seconds to build up into this. Looks like the mile will be his best trip. I like him a bit. Zoo Tiger each way.
Well, it has a sense of timing about it, Zoo Tiger, for sure, doesn't it? Seems to be building nicely, and looks like the mile will suit. But I'm in Roger's corner here. Ossipenko, I think he's guaranteed to eat up the mile. I think he'll be very strong. Aft Cabin, is he just a
what do we do?
What, for yeah. a strong mile?
What do we do with Aft Cabin? What do we do?
Like, well, you got to give him a pass mark last start after the after
well,
the
but,
performance.
But none of us want to tip him, and I reckon that's what.
No. I think if it was at 1400 again, I'd tip him. I probably wouldn't have a hesitation there. He's a son of a stern. Where he sits in the food chain at a strong mile. The one thing I probably do see him getting is being ridden quiet to get every chance to get the trip from this draw. And he might be the last one to arrive with a well-timed James McDonald ride. But I just thought Ozapenko is going to get an incident-free run. He was probably the hard luck story the other day and overcame it and still won the race. I just see him getting a better run here on Saturday and improving out to the mile. He's the one that I genuinely feel will improve out to the mile. They might just be a tad brilliant for a mile, Zoo Tiger and Af Cabin. That was my little feel on it. And I just think Ozapenko is going to be the one that'll really chew up the mile here at Randwick.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to Johnny. Over to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mode to chat, share and bet together. Thank you for being a friend. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, let's do the best bets. Moody on the mic. We don't have Rain Man to take the new ball this week. I did ask him to send through his tips, but he's obviously got some other things going on. My best bet is a race we've already touched on. I don't generally like to do this, but I just think Gentleman Roy lines up so well in the Blamey Stakes that I'm happy to make it my best bet of the day. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to just go, well, actually, I'm going to have a significant bet. But if I lose to Pounding, I'm okay. Because, you know, we love the Pounder, but I just think Gentleman Roy is the bet of the day.
One for the good guys, you reckon? If Pounding gets up, well, it'll stop us from whinging about the emergency system anyway, and he'll get a free ticket to ride in the All-Star Mile. Thanks for those that voted, appreciate it. And if you want to back a winner in the red on Saturday at good odds, I think I'm going to steal Peter Moody's glory here because he was very, very glowing about the gallop of Nanagai on Tuesday morning down there at Pakenham. In fact, I think that you might have used the word scintillating, Pete. Can you spell it?
No.
He could say it. And there might have been just a little bit of loin movement downstairs from PG Moody as he sent out the pre-race on this one. So you're talking about race six, the English sprint at Flemington. Nanagai first up. She's drawn out wide, but it doesn't matter because it's down the straight. Luke Nolan to ride, and you're getting $10 and 360 the place. Punters, bet up. Nanagai.
God give her strength. God give her strength. Well, we've touched on a few of the Moody Boutique Stable runners this weekend. Off to Flemington. My nemesis, Oxley Road, race three, number one. Dry track, drawn the outside, drawn to get every chance. He's had me pulling my hair out. I've never had a horse race working and looking so well, and has not failed to take it to the races for a long, long time. But he's out of excuses on Saturday. This is a race he just should go there and should just win.
Ooh, win, Pete.
Well, he should. He's been racing well below his best. He's rated well above anything in the race. He's got no excuses on Saturday. Oxley Road, he should be going there and running extremely well. Then we're down to race six, the English sprint. Mitho's just touched on Nanagai. She's going super, this filly. Her work and trials have been very pleasing. Traditionally, gate 18 down the straight's probably the race to be. And I think from memory, she might have won a stakes race from a similar draw there two runs back. And she's in tremendous order. I expect her to go there and run very well. But don't forget the stablemate, Mullane. He's also been working up a storm. He ran, I thought, a creditable race in the Lightning. I thought he was too close to his top all the way. He ran last, but only got beat six lengths by the likes of Nature Strip and Co. There's no reason that he can't bounce back and run extremely well also. Pounding, we've discussed. I think he's an excellent each-way chance in the Blamey. He just doesn't know how to run bad this horse as long as the track's straight drive. And Life Lessons. In the last. First up from a bit of a freshen up, this mare. She's built quite an imposing record. J-Car takes a ride. First exposure to the straight track, but she's fresh. She's bouncing. She wants a little bit further. It's a good race. You got the likes of Pinstripe, Cardinal Gem. Bloody good horses returning here, but her form was very, very good, and it took Nugget to beat her at a last start, even though it's 1,700. So her form's very, very good. So Not sure that I've got a best, but Oxley Road, God give him strength. He's going well enough to win this. I reckon he'll be fair odds. I'm going to go with him as my best. Race 3, number 1, Oxley Road.
Let him run fast, Moods.
Exactly. Fast horses should run fast. We don't want him to go quite as fast as he did first up. He missed the run on the Oxley plate.
It's been that long since this horse has performed, and we've had many a tribute to Oxley Road. It's been that long that Pete's actually forgotten his tagline. But he needs to run fast, Pete. He needs to run. I've just had a bet while you've been talking.
He needs to run fast at the right end.
Ladbrokes.